You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. And everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
What it comes down to is we got to play with more heart. It doesn't matter what scheme we have. We could install the triple option in the bye week. And if our guys don't believe in each other and believe that they're going to win and play with great resolve and toughness and grit, it doesn't matter what we do in that regard.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Certainly, like I said, coach our kids to do the right thing and you know, play with poise, play with confidence, play with dignity, play with class. At the same time, we're not going to take anyone's shit either.
We want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
We're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
All I want to do is fucking eat. I want you to eat. I want you to eat. I want you to want this shit. Do you want it? Do you want it? Show me.
But you just did it again.
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin, Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Hey, Shane, I'm just enjoying my Monday evening here. This is the greatest week, I think, of the SEC calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if your team's eliminated from postseason play, the SEC championship, what have you, you still got a chance, Shane, to ruin your rival's year. You still got an opportunity to get bragging rights all year long.
Uh-huh.
So we got a lot to talk about. Let's just dive right in here. Shane, you ready to go around the league?
Dude, I am ready. I mean, this is it, Mike. Houses are getting divided. There's family members not going to talk till after Thanksgiving. I mean, yes, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughter's said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
In Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys! Hey! I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you!
All right, Shane, let's kick things off here in Starkville. Mississippi State head coach Joe Moorhead met with the media, and before we jump to his comments, Shane, obviously a lot of buzz, and I'm hearing, as crazy as this is to say, Shane, there's rumblings that Joe Moorhead could be gone. Mississippi State loses this game. I don't know, Shane. I mean, I know, you know, last season you could argue I was probably the best Mississippi State team of our lifetimes. I mean, yep. It was that good. They went 8-5. That was borderline inexcusable. Poor job by Joe Moorhead. Now the team's sitting here at 5-6 with, you know, they lose this game. They're not going to the postseason. I mean, Mississippi State at the standard there set by Dan Mullen is bare minimum to make the postseason. So, you know, I guess it makes sense in some degree, but it's not like this guy is completely. I don't know. I'm sure Mississippi State fans are kind of tired of, you know, me supporting this guy to a degree, but I just don't think he's like completely over his head or anything. I just think that, there's an adjustment to the SEC. There's an adjustment to being a head coach. And yes, that does not excuse, you know, some of the poor performances we've seen. This guy's supposed to be an offensive guru, and his offense has been downright terrible more often than not. But I think we've seen enough signs, Shane. I mean, this guy knows how to identify a quarterback. We've seen the bearded Schrader. I think he looks like one of the more promising quarterback prospects in the SEC. We've seen Kylan Hill go from, you know, this guy's always had talent, but last year, no one was saying this is the best running back in the SEC. Now, a year later in this system, I think you could say, you can make a case for a few running backs, but Kylan Hill's got to be in the discussion for best SEC running back. So, I don't know. I say all that to ask you, Shane, Mississippi State, you really think that they could be firing Joe Moorhead in under just 2 years' time when, I don't know, what's your thoughts on that?
No, I think last year was a disappointment, but this year was kind of warranted. It felt like, they had the sanctions, they had a lot of things going against them. They had a lot of trouble. Tommy came in, he was supposed to be the answer, and he just was unhealthy. And so they had to turn to a true freshman. You got the leading rusher in the SEC. You've got a top 21 recruiting class. I mean, there's a lot of positive things that you can hang your hat on as a Mississippi State fan. Did this season go exactly as planned? Absolutely not. It is disappointing that we brought Joe in to lead this offense, to see some sort of resemblance of what they had up there at Penn State. And then you look over there at Florida and Dan's winning 10 games, it is disheartening. I understand that, but I think that, you got to be patient, and you wreck this class right now. This could set you back, man. I think it's a little premature with Joe. I think we got to let him play a few more and give him some time to get his, recruits in there and play in the scheme that he wants. I mean, hell, they're already starting to step up,
Yeah, what are you saying to the next coach, Shane, if you come in here and say, with all the limitations that Mississippi State has in its history, you look at Dan Mullen's record. We all recognize him as an elite coach in the SEC. I think he was about 10 games under 500 for his career. Mm-hmm. And this includes the year they were number one in the nation. Right. It took a lot for him to get 10 games below 500. You're throwing a guy out that, hell, he could be 2-0 against Ole Miss. He could, back-to-back bowl seasons and 90% of the fan base I talk to is ready to get rid of this damn guy. I just don't know if what you're saying to the next guy outside of, you got to win 8-9 games every year or otherwise we're going to be mad at you. Like, I just don't know who they're going to get that's going to satisfy him at that point.
I think there's reasons to fire a coach early. Like when you see Willie Taggart and everything they threw at him down at Florida State and what they've been able to put on the field. They were a laughingstock, and yes, he deserved to get fired. What Coach Morris has done at Arkansas, is just laughable and embarrassing for that university, and he deserved to get fired. I don't know if we're there with Joe. I think sometimes you got to let these coaches play out. And if you cut bait too early, you never know what you had. So I think Joe has experience. I think he has promise, man. I think he's the best thing that we can do right now at Mississippi State. Because like you said, if you cut him loose now, what does that say to the next guy that comes in? You're going to be batting at a lower tier level than you were when you got Joe in there just because of the reputation. So I'd hold off, man. Give him some time, at least another year, man, if not two, and then maybe we look at that. But if he doesn't take the steps forward next year, if you don't see the progression that I saw flashes of this year, then, yeah, cut him loose. But I don't think this is the season we need to do it.
Let's kick it over to Joe Moorhead, Shane, who talked about, obviously, this is going to be his second Egg Bowl, so just kind of experiencing that last year for the first time on the pressures that he's facing. Some of these Mississippi State media members, Shane, they're asking him the tough questions. Credit that crew. On Ole Miss's rushing attack, on his team keeping their emotions in check in such a heated rivalry here.
Coach, last year, post game, you had the little scrum, I guess you could say, on the field. What was your impressions of that first Egg Bowl that you experienced, and then in recruiting as well, you know, recruiting in-state athletes and kind of the rivalry there. What's your first impressions and your impressions now of the Egg Bowl rivalry?
Just of that game or the rivalry in general?
Just, I guess, with that included.
Yeah, I mean, being a part of, you know, Pitt Penn State and being growing up around Pitt West Virginia, the backyard brawl, and you talk about two schools, you know, with, you know, a lot in common and passionate fan bases. And I don't think you really quite understand it till you're in it. And I think, you know, leading up to the game, I got a pretty decent idea. But, you know, once the game started and obviously, you know, unfortunately, you know, afterward, you kind of really got a true sense of what the rivalry means.
Coach, obviously, players know that they need this win to get to a bowl game. Not so much added pressure, but when you're in a rivalry game like that, is that a big factor, knowing you must have it to win a bowl game, or is it just on top of other factors?
Yeah, I think the kids are aware of it, you know, and it's not something really that we even need to talk about. You know, we're right on the cusp of bowl eligibility, and you know, we got to win this one to get to the postseason, and you know, I don't believe in feeling pressure. I believe in applying pressure. So they know that we need to have a great week of preparation. You know, we'll start tonight on the field, and you know, we got to do two things: make sure we play well and keep the egg here in Starkville. And if we do that, then we'll extend the season and get to play in the bowl game.
Joe, have you had any talks with the administration about what this game might mean for your future at Mississippi State?
In what regard?
You know, the outcome of the game.
No.
What do you think the outcome of the game means for your future at Mississippi State?
I think the outcome of this game means that we win the Egg Bowl and we go on to the postseason.
When you look at Ole Miss, you know, they're so run heavy and they don't throw the ball as much as they probably would like to, sort of similar to what you were a season ago.
Yeah.
From a defensive standpoint, do you worry about worrying too much about the run game and it leaves you open to things in the pass game?
Yeah, and I think that's what Coach Rodriguez does very well. You know, some 10 personnel looks, some 11 personnel looks. They get into some of that two back, one tight end stuff, and you know, really create conflict. And when you're that concerned with stopping the run and needing to get people to the box, you know, by secondary support or pressure, it creates some one on one matchups. You know, and certainly they played John Rice, they played Corral, Elijah Moore. I think has 815 yards receiving, I believe, and you know, a couple guys have kind of chipped in along the way. But I think like anything, when you're committing numbers to stop the box, it's a give and take that you're going to have some guys playing, you know, single coverage on the back end. So I think you got to do two things. You got to mix up the looks and get numbers and set edges. But at the same time, you have to be cognizant and aware of you know, the ability to throw the ball down the field.
Coach, last year you used to talk a lot about playing with emotion but not playing emotionally.
Yeah.
When it's a rivalry game like this, how do you kind of manage that in practice to kind of prepare them for what's going to be an emotional environment?
Yeah, I think more than anything, you don't want to minimize the emotional component of it, because the kids are going to be fired up by nature. So I don't know there's necessarily anything you're going to do to get them any more riled up. But you know, all the pregame talk, all the pregame chatter, all the Newt Rockne fist through the chalkboard speeches, you know, in about a series and a half, that's going to wear out, and you're going to fall back on your preparation, and the game's going to be dictated by the execution. So we want the guys taking the field fiery. We want them, you know, to have great energy, great urgency, and play with physicality and passion. But at the same time, you know, it's going to come down to how well we execute, not how hard we play.
All right, Shane. So, these were some these were not softballs they were throwing up at Joe Moorhead. So, how do you think he handled it?
Just say what you mean, man. Have you talked to the admin and they tell you you're going to get fired if you lose this game? Has that happened? You know, don't beat around the bush. You know, I'd love to hear that question brought up to Nick Saban or, you know, or Muschamp or something like that, man, where these guys could have chewed it up, because Joe, he took the high road, and, you know, it blows my mind that there is that much pressure on him, but damn, maybe there is. You know, I'm not down there. I I'm not on the message boards. I don't know if this is, you know, we're tracking planes and see where the AD's at. I don't know. But mm-hmm. I thought Joe did okay with answering those questions. It is as simple as winning this week. You know, this is a huge rivalry. This game at the end, you know, they won, but it got in a fight. I mean, this is something these people talk about all year long. You know, I mean, this is one of the I don't know, man. Just one of the most angry rivalries that you'll find right here. And if he comes out ahead and he puts old, like it's not even close, I don't think anybody's batting an eye that Joe's coming back. But if they get embarrassed by Ole Miss, then yeah, maybe there is some smoke, or what they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe there's a little bit down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on from Moorhead, Shane, let's discuss the matchup here a little bit. It's important to note that Mississippi State, you know, all their guys that are in and out due to suspensions, they're all going to play. Everyone that's healthy is going to play in this matchup here. Is that big of a deal down there? Obviously, a lot at stake here, Shane. Mississippi State, I think they're going to have a real advantage when their offense is on the field facing the Ole Miss defense, particularly if they can get these receivers going. I know the receivers have been real hit or miss here lately, but it just kind of feels like a game to me that these guys are going to show up and play. You know, this game means so much. I know remember the line when it about 2 weeks ago debuted, Mississippi State's the favorite. Then on Sunday, Ole Miss is the favorite. Now Mississippi State's the favorite again. I mean, this is how this game is going to play out in my mind. I think it's going to be back and forth. You got John Rice, Plumlee, and that crew on the other side. I don't know how much success Mississippi State's going to have shutting them down. I don't see that being realistic, but I think they can limit them enough. You know, I do think this is going to be a back and forth game, but whether it's Tommy Stevens, whether it's Garrett Schrader under center, I really think Mississippi State's going to have some success on the offensive side of the ball. Are you expecting, like me, kind of a shootout Egg Bowl?
I don't know, man. I really think Joe's going to sail out toward the run, you know, and try to play keep away because old Plumtree, man, he gets his hands on the ball. You know, it's funny. We talk about Hill being the leading rusher. Do you know, like, Plumtree's like three. You know, he's second in most touchdowns this season in the SEC, as rushing touchdowns. I mean, these teams have potential to be in a barn burner top shootout game, but I don't know. I think Joe would be crazy to make this a back and forth like it was with Ole Miss and LSU and get a little more conservative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, keep this in mind, Shane. If Mississippi State finds a way to win this, and if they win a bowl game, hell, they'll have won three of the last four going into the off season. I mean, and still, it's wild to think about, but the Joe Moorhead on sounds like a damn boiling hot seat down there, and they've got a lot to play for down there.
Yeah, man.
Well, kicking over to the other side, Shane, let's jump on down to Ole Miss.
Howdy, toddy, Ole Miss.
Where it really seems like the Rebels trending in the right direction here. But keep in mind, this team's only won four games this year. Now, you could argue, as we have said on this podcast, there's a couple games here or there that maybe they got screwed by a ref or, you know, it was a turnover here or a missed opportunity there. I mean, this could be a 6-7-win team. But the reality is there are a 4-win team heading into this game.
Mm-hmm.
And while the season has not, you know, lived up to the expectations, there's a lot to be gained here from ruining Mississippi State's season, maybe getting their damn coach fired, momentum going to the offseason, and still that glimmer of hope that they can get into the postseason a 5-7 record. You know, while there's so much pressure potentially on Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead, which team do you think is maybe Ole Miss that has more to gain and not as much to lose in this Egg Bowl?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's talk that, well, I mean, they're both going to be bowl eligible after the. I mean, there's a chance Ole Miss is bowl. Can you explain that to the listeners how a 5-win team can make a bowl game?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the situation. Because there's so many bowls now, there's typically not enough 6-6 teams to actually go to the bowl games. So they got to send somebody. And what happens in that situation is they, if you're 5-7, outside of the Pac-12, I just recently found this out. The Pac-12 has said, if you're 5-7, you cannot go to a bowl game, so you eliminate all the Pac-12 squads. But every other team, if you're 5-7, and if you can turn down a bowl opportunity, I don't know why you'd do that, but some schools, I guess, you know, not interested in going with a losing record. But Mm-hmm. Most others, 5-7. Now the next thing they look at is your APR, which is essentially a graduation rate. So you're bringing kids in and you got to graduate them. The more you graduate, the higher your APR. And Ole Miss's APR is very high from what I understand. The one team they got to watch out for is Duke. I think Duke is one of the top five teams in the nation in APR, and they're sitting at 4 wins as well. So you need them to lose this weekend. But I think Ole Miss, from what I understand, is one of the highest rated APR teams that is hovering around this 5-win mark. So that's how it happens, Shane. They need extra teams to go to the bowl game, and they really like to give it to these schools that are graduating their kids.
That being said, Mike, I think that it's so funny that I think there is more pressure on Mississippi State to win this game, even though there's a chance Ole Miss went from a 5-win season to a 4-win season and less pressure. You know what I'm saying? It's just there's been little – that's the thing with football, man. It's crazy because if your season's tanked, as long as you've got little sparks of a brighter future, it doesn't seem so bad. And I think when you see old Plumtree running around out there and you see some of this young talent and these young running backs and, you know, these young receivers, it's just, I don't know. There's just something about it. You're just like, you know what? We are in a rebuild and we're going to be better next year. Mississippi State, it just feels like they're slowly declining. I mean, they mm-hmm. went from a ranked team last year to now we're hoping that we get a win against Ole Miss to make a bowl. So, yeah, it's a little bit more disheartening because you felt like you were just on the top of the mountain and you're going back down. So I get that. I just think that that may play a role in some of the hot seat talk with Mississippi State. But yeah, I think you're right. I think there's more pressure on Joe to win this game than there is on Coach Luke.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick it over to Coach Luke Shane, who talked about the motivation for this game on making a bowl game, possibly with a 5-7 record, and if that's something they discuss there in Oxford, on keeping their emotions in check, on his personal history. Remember, he played here, his father played here, his brother played here. I mean, this damn game's in his blood. And then finally on attempting to stop Mr. Kylan Hill.
Matt, it's just the margin of defeat last year, just tweak these guys, Ole Miss, from a pride standpoint?
I think this game stands alone. You can't worry about what happened last year. I mean, this is two brand new teams, you know, different set of circumstances. But I think you really don't need any extra motivation when it comes to this game. It's just, it's very, very important on its own.
Are you guys mentioning the possibility of a bowl at 5-7 to your players?
You know, I think that's out there because enough people have been talking about it, but not really. It's not something that we're talking about. We're focused on this game, and if certainly that happens, I mean, you welcome all the extra practice time and the ability to go to a bowl game with a young team. It's like an extra spring practice, so I think it would be a positive. But you're certainly not focused on that. I mean, our guys are dialed in on this game.
Matt, you talked about everybody on this team knowing how big of a rivalry this is, how important it is. What do you say to the guys to not get them too overexcited and too involved in the pageantry of it?
Yeah, this is a very emotional and passionate game, and it should be, as all rivalry games should be, with two passionate fan bases. And it's a, you know, it's a great college football game, but at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and play football. I mean, nothing that happens, you know, you got to go play football between the whistles and take care of your business and go play really, really hard. All the other stuff is not going to affect the outcome of the game.
Matt, you talk about how emotional and passionate of a football game this is. You'd be hard pressed to find anybody that's as steeped in this game as you are. Do you find yourself having to maybe step outside yourself a little bit to control your emotions going into this game?
I mean, I think you want to be real. You don't want to be fake, and you don't mean. But I mean, it is an emotional and it is a passionate game. But I think the whole thing is I'm, you know, born and raised in the state of Mississippi. When the game comes on Thursday night and it's a national TV game, you want the whole state of Mississippi to be shed in a good light. And I think just with a good football game, two teams, passionate fan bases out there playing hard, that's the way it should be.
Coach, who sticks out to you this season with Mississippi State? Who, I guess, is a unique character specifically with that offense that y'all have to prepare for this week coming up?
Well, I mean, the obvious is Kylan Hill. He's the leading rusher in the Southeastern Conference. He's a very, very good player, and he does a great job, you know, making people miss, breaking tackles, yards after contact. I mean, all those things he's very, very good at. And so, but you know, both quarterbacks can run the football. You know, that you add that dimension, you got to account for all 11 guys all the time, and then the play action's off of it.
All right, Shane, so you can kind of get it there from Coach Luke. You know, this game, he understands more than most the importance of it. And I really appreciate the fact that, you know, I'm sure he's talking trash all up in the locker room and everything, but it's not kind of like his predecessor. You know, he's not necessarily doing it publicly. And I think that really, that helps, you know, you don't want this damn thing to turn venomous. We don't need damn tree poisoners out here in Mississippi or anything, but
no,
you know, Coach Luke knows the importance. He's the head coach at Ole Miss right now because he won one of these Egg Bowls.
Yeah,
and he'd go a long way. Ole Miss just named a full-time AD, Keith Carter, the former interim AD. You know, he'll earn some goodwill here by beating Mississippi State once again. I think he fully understands that, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's funny when these coaches come out and they act like they're not talking about it. No, they're talking about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how many times, I mean, think about the, we haven't done Missouri yet, but that's one of the things Coach talked about is Odom. You know, he was saying, you know, there was a big game. They were trying to go ahead and clinch the bowling aspect of it. And you got Tennessee acting like they're bowling after the game. You know, these players know what's on the line when you haven't made that bowl game yet. So, that's added weight. And to think these coaches aren't talking about it is crazy, man. These guys want to go to postseason. They don't want to give up on football just yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hit on it there, Shane. Let's jump to the Friday action. Let's jump on down to Fayetteville.
Woo pig!
Where interim coach Barry Lunny Jr. spoke about the upcoming Missouri game. Before we get into the action, Shane, I don't know if you heard this, but some stunning news out of Fayetteville. The damn mumps broken out on campus.
Where? Where did this happen?
It at Arkansas, they released a statement that apparently players are affected. A bunch of the sports programs are affected. So, damn, Shane, just when they they get rid of they got rid of Chad Morris, but the disease is still running rampant down there on the hill. So,
do you think he spread it? You know, I mean that just rubbing his mumps on every door handle in Arkansas.
Oh, man. Well, we talked about it a little bit there, Shade, on Sunday's pod that, you know, I thought Arkansas was impressed with how they perform, really watching the game once again. KJ Jefferson, I know he's potentially limited. He may not play in this game. He is listed, you know, as a potential starter for it, but, you know, he really seemed to bring a spark to this offense, a defense. You know, they kind of caved a little bit once they started getting hammered, but I at least saw some signs of life from Arkansas. I don't know if that's going to carry over to this final game. You know, there's been players in the past that say they hate playing in damn Little Rock, but Barry Lunny apparently not one of these guys. I mean, I thought this guy was going to start crying at the presser just talking about his love of Little Rock and all his past memories there. But I don't know, Shane, you think Arkansas's got it in him to get up one more time? I know everything, you know, there's every reason in the world to quit. But they didn't do it against LSU, number one team in the nation, in Death Valley at night. Do you think they have in them one more performance here against a Missouri team that, you know, looks very beatable at this moment?
Do they? I don't know, Mike. I mean, I think you can get motivated for games like this. I think it's very big for the seniors. But how close is this locker room? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen reports talking about this locker room was divided at some point, and that may be, you know, underclassmen against upperclassmen. I don't know, you know. Did they rally last week? It felt like it. It felt like they really gave everything they had. They just, you know, playing the number one team in the nation. So, yeah, I think it's possible to get pumped for this game, but I think it's pumped. I think it's possible for Missouri to get pumped for this game as well, because I think there's a little bit more riding on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the fans, Shane? Because that's kind of an interesting one that I'm thinking about here.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, holiday weekend, the day after Thanksgiving. Arkansas is a unique state where, you know, they like to say the entire state is behind the program, and that's why they play these games a Little Rock. So, you know, maybe if this game was in Fayetteville, not that many people would show up, but they only get this game now, an SEC game every other season. So I know the team's in the dumps. You got an interim coach. You don't know who's playing quarterback, but, you know, you think the fans will show up and kind of rally. I mean, why not? What else they got to lose, you know?
I really hope so, man. I really do. I hope for the players' sake that they do show up and they do rally and they do show their support, that, you know, they are patient. They've been through a lot, but so have these players, man. I mean, a lot of these players on this team weren't recruited by Coach Morris, and, you know, they were just – that's the cards they were dealt. They had an opportunity to – you know, hit the transfer portal, and they didn't. They stuck in there for Arkansas. So I hope for the seniors' sake that the fans come out and show support to these guys, and, you know, just send them out on a good note. You know, if you can have that last game, just, I mean, this is it, Arkansas. I mean, unless you like other teams, like watching other teams play, this is your last game. So I hope that you soak it up and get behind these boys.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick it over, Shane, to Coach Barry Ludham, who talked about the Razorbacks' depth at quarterback, the depth chart here. They got three guys listed as potential starters here, including Jack Lindsey, who showed a little bit there against LSU at the tail end of the game. On this game being a, you know, quote-unquote rivalry, a lot of fans don't honor it as one, most don't, but Barry Lunny's starting to see one develop. And then finally on playing at Little Rock, I mean, he got pretty emotional, kind of jacked up just talking about playing in War Memorial Stadium.
Barry, I know you're probably not going to tell us anything on quarterback, but got to ask, what's the status with KJ and Nick? And you got a lot of oars on the depth chart.
Yeah, we do. And that's legitimate. I mean, we're not trying to, you know, play games or anything. It's just we're still evaluating those guys. I think that's going to be a day-to-day, hour-to-hour situation right now. A short week creates a little bit more challenge than that. We're on the field this evening as what is our Monday. It's really a Tuesday as we stand here today. And so I think we'll know a little bit more tomorrow about where this is heading as far as their evaluation and what we expect for them to be ready or who not to be ready.
Barry, obviously not a long history of the Missouri series, but now it is the trophy game, it's the season ender, and it's something that needs to build. What's your take on just the rivalry with these guys and how you feel about that?
Well, it is new. I think the first thing that sticks out to me, like I told the team, there's not anybody on our football team that's beaten Missouri. Now, there was a few guys that were red shirts in 15 when we played them out here in that miserable weather that saw us, you know, win that trophy, but there is not one player on our team that has beaten them. And so – that's a rivalry, you know. I mean, that's you know, that's got to mean something to you. And like I told our guys, listen, there's a lot to play for. Even though the people are going to say there's not a lot to play for, human nature says that there's not a lot. You're 2-9. It's the last game of the year. You know, you got an interim coaching situation. We don't have a lot to play for. I would beg to differ. We laid out a lot of things. I mean, here's the deal. I'll lay them out for you. You know. First of all, it's one of 12 games. You work all year round for 12 games? Shoot, you can't get ready to play when you go all summer, all winter, 6 a.m. workouts, and you can't get ready to play one of your 12 games? Well, okay, we could stop there, in my opinion. But then there's a lot of layers on top of that. We're at home in Little Rock playing an SEC game. Hadn't won an SEC game since 2011 in Little Rock. Shoot, there's a lot to get ready for right there. Seniors, it's your last go-around. The senior day that they had a few weeks ago is something that they'll never want to remember. And we're going to give those guys an opportunity to have a redo. Now, we're not going to do the dog and pony show, but we're going to acknowledge them. It's important that they get acknowledged and we get a chance to do this senior night or this senior day over again. That's important for me and for them. So then you got seniors. It's their last go around. You know, that's a lot to play for. If you care about these seniors, you'll go all in on this game. Okay? We've lost 18 straight SEC games. We've lost 18 straight SEC games. Seven of those have been by one score. Seven have been by one score or less. So we got a chance to the last game of this tough season got a chance to break that streak. To me, that sounds like there's a whole lot to play for. And I like it. I'm looking forward to getting on that bus on Friday with those police cars in front of us, blood pumping. I'm excited about that. I really am. Because I get flooded with memories of doing the same thing as a player, and those are special memories for me, and I'm proud of that. And I want from the moment we step on that bus to the moment we get back on that bus for this to be an experience that these guys will remember. Rain, sleet, snow, fog, I don't know, fog bowl, like the gate, what did we play, North Carolina, the fog bowl? Is there any fog coming in? Okay, so we don't have to worry about the fog. 70% chance of rain, that means it's a 30% chance of sun, Trey. And that's what I'm going with, you know. Hey, grab a poncho. They're pretty cheap. Let's get a poncho and let's get in there and let's roll. That's what I would say. Let's see, is Ned Permy still on there? Is he still on there? Did he retire? I think he retired. We'll get Ned Permy to give us a better forecast as we get closer to the week down in Little Rock, and let's roll, you know. And so I think our guys are going to be excited no matter what the weather is, and I hope our fans will be the same.
You know, there was one clip here, Shane, from Coach Lunny I didn't include. I didn't really want to get 8 minutes of Coach Lunny here, but one of the questions he was asked, you know, it was only about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, they're asking him if he wants to be the head coach, if he thinks he's got a shot. And the question at this presser, Shane, was, hey, what's this Knicks coach got to do to fix this thing?
Oh, so, no. Golly.
So despite the fact that I know Arkansas, you know, they got blown their doors off there against LSU, but that's been happening to a lot of people playing LSU. But I really like what I've seen from this guy. He's clearly passionate about this program. He's passionate about, you know, getting these kids one last opportunity to go out there and show their best to the state of Arkansas. Thoughts on what Coach Lenny had to say here?
I loved it, man. I love the rambling about the weather. I think I was like, that's my kind of guy, you know. He's got a great presence there at the mic, but I don't think he has a chance keeping this gig, you know. His chance was last week, man. That was his lottery ticket. And but he knows how important Arkansas football is, you know. I mean, if anybody does, it's this guy. So I think he gets them pumped up and gets them ready, and they leave everything out in the field. But I don't know. He's a good. I think he's good. But I just, unfortunately, this may be the last few clips we have of him.
Mm-hmm. Let's kick it over to the other side, Shane. Jump on down to Columbia, Missouri.
M-I-Z!
Where Barry Odom typically speaks on Tuesday, but because this game's on a Friday, remember that Coach Odom spoke with the media here on Monday. And, you know, it was kind of an interesting one, Shane, because while Missouri has lost, what is it here, five games in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Things are, man, the world's turned upside down. He's feeling the heat. His quarterback's injured. Defense is really banged up, particularly the secondary. You know, they're giving up record-setting numbers to Tennessee's receivers and quarterback. I mean, there is just not a lot of hope here in Missouri. They've not even won a damn road game yet.
Mm-mm. Is that true? Not one road game?
Not this season. They've not won a single road game. They even lost at Vanderbilt.
Holy shit.
So imagine they lose at Arkansas. Well, Little Rock, but still on the road to Arkansas. Man, it just seems like there's not much more. There's nothing positive to say about this situation, is there?
No, the only thing more depressing than this is actually Coach Odom talking, which is about to come up. So if you haven't had coffee, you may want to fast forward this part. I think you're right, man. I think, golly, Mike, I mean, I didn't realize they didn't win one road game. I thought they had one on there, but this is do you fire him? I mean, let's just talk real talk for a second. If they go down here and lose to Arkansas, do you think there's a chance they fire Coach Odom?
Yeah, I think there's a real chance if they lose this game, because, I mean, what does that say about the state of your program if you're losing to Arkansas, who's, you know, got an interim, has got, you know, issues at quarterback, It's probably the worst defense in the SEC. I mean, their Razorbacks just getting shredded week in, week out. I don't know. This is going to be a tough, tough one to recover from. And I think it'd be even worse, Shane, if I wouldn't put it past the NCAA. Missouri lose this game, go to 5-7, and then the NCAA come out and say, hey, we're lifting the postseason ban.
Oh, my God. I mean,
that's the only way this could get worse. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I
if you, it's yeah, very, even if, could you imagine not being bowl eligible and having that lifted at the end? Oh, man, that would be a kick while you're down. That's something NCAA would do because they have no soul, you know?
Yeah, there just seems to be a real lack of development on a lot of these, particularly at quarterback. I mean, what would Missouri have been this year, Shane, if Kelly Bryant didn't come on board? I know Kelly Bryant has not had the year we expected him to have, but my goodness, Shane, imagine if he's not there, and based on what we've seen with him there, I mean, I don't know how many damn games this team would have won.
That's right, man. I don't either. They would have been really hurting.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick it over to Coach Odom, Shane. You teased it there for this exciting presser. He talks about the NCAA still waiting to make their decision on whether he's met with AD Jim Sturk about his future. Then I thought this was some good commentary here on Derek Dooley and kicking him down to the field. They think that helped a little bit. I mean, they showed some signs of life there against Tennessee, which is more than you can say for the weeks leading up to it. And then finally on not letting the negativity get to him here.
I sure hope so. You know, you would like to know that going into the game, but also, like I talked to him last night, there's the things we've been talking about since January, the unknown. Well, here we are yet in the last week of the season, and we still don't know. So, it would be one way or the other, I think, for everybody. You know, it's we'll be anxious to find out when that is and what it is. But also the clock's ticking and, just waiting on the phone to call. So I am tired of talking about it. And I know you guys are tired of reporting about it. You're tired of asking about it. And I think all collectively, if we put together, we could come up with the idea and the response and even the sanctions, whether they're there or not, if they just let us do it. But ultimately, we don't get that call. I'm concerned about a lot of things, and that would be one of them. Yeah, you just don't know until you get the information. It's the unknown, unfortunately. So you continue to work and press forward and make a plan on the information that you have, and you go with it in those regards. Yeah, we met last week, but we meet every week. And, you know, at this point, I'm trying to do everything we can to get this next win. And I think that's so huge for our program on moving it and continuing the momentum that we have, you know, three bowl games in a row. You know, that means something. We talked about that last night as a team on the importance of getting number six to be bowl eligible, not only for a senior class, but for Mizzou football. And that's a big deal. And, you know, anyone that takes that lightly to be in the conversation and be qualified for a bowl, then, they haven't been in the game very long. So, you know, that's the focus right now for me. We'll sit down when we have an opportunity and continue to try to make and move and do things for a program to continue to move it forward like we always do. We talked about it throughout the week, and he talks a lot. So it was, whether you hear him, all the time on Saturday in the headset, and then I've got my right or left ear closed and my right ear open. So I was hearing him out of both ears the other night. So it took some getting used to. I told him to shut the heck up a couple of times. I thought it helped our guys on the sideline a little bit. I really do. We're still talking about it. He's talking a lot still. I really like the staff. You know, and I can joke around that a little bit. Nobody wants me to joke right now. I understand that. But it's a good group of guys. Yeah, I'm thankful for them. You know, you're not going to steal my spirit. You know what I mean? The joy, the reasons you do the job you do. You know, shoot, I want to win them all. But also, if you allow yourself to get into the dark moments of, then you don't live life. Life's too short, man. You got to keep pushing. You know, my team doesn't, I'm not, you know, I may go in my office and shut the door and have a moment to myself, but you know what? My guys aren't going to see any different from me. We're full steam ahead. We're going to get this deal done.
All right, Shane. So Odom's still joking here, but
having a good old time, you know.
They dropped this one of the Razorbacks. I don't think he's going to be having much of a good time anymore. Do you?
This drives me nuts, man. And it would drive me nuts as a Missouri fan if I'm listening to my damn coach laugh and talk about how great he loves his staff. Well, this staff is the reason that you've lost five games in a row. It's the reason that you haven't won an SEC game on the road all year long. That drives me nuts. Five losses. That's ridiculous, Mike. Mm-hmm. And he's in here joking about it. The offense looked like garbage. The defense, his bread and butter, could not do anything to stop Tennessee, man. It was just an absolute joke. It was night and day of what we thought expectations of this team was going to be at the start. We thought, man, wouldn't it suck if they don't get this bowl bin lift and they don't have a chance to compete in an SEC championship, Mike? That's where Missouri was. And here they are joking about a five-win ball club. I mean, it is a joke right now. And you know what? I'm ready to fire Odom now. He's my new Morse. Bullseye on him.
Oh, man. Yeah. Shane coming out strong.
It's ridiculous, dude. I mean, it's just embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassed. Show me state. Show him the door, Mike.
Well, let's jump on down to Baton Rouge, Shane. Keep this thing going.
Go Tigers.
Where Coach O met with the media here, talk about this Texas A&M game. And kind of like I was saying, you know, on our Sunday pod, this team is fired up for this game. They feel like it was kind of robbed from them there at Texas A&M College Station last season. There's still a lot to be played for here for LSU. National championship hopes, SEC championship hopes, number one team in the nation. And kind of like I hit on the previous episode, I don't want to just repeat myself, but this is just the perfect situation in my mind for LSU. Any other opponent, I think they're overlooking here going into this game. But, you know, it looks like LSU's getting all their guys back. Grant Delpit, Coach O says he's at full speed. They anticipate him practicing all week and playing in the game. Left tackle Sadiq Charles available for this game. They've not technically announced a suspension, but you know, read between the lines, he's been suspended on and off. So that it's like they're not sitting anybody for this Georgia SEC championship game. They're letting everyone play for this one. They want this one bad, Shane. Thoughts on this LSU-Texas A&M matchup where A&M just a week ago had a lot of momentum going into that Georgia game, nearly won it, but sounds like Ed Orgeron, LSU, they just want to crush the Aggies, kick them while they're down.
I know, man, and it just feels like it's going to be one of those top games, and it kind of scares you because usually when you feel like it's just going to be a lopsided victory, it turns out to be a hell of a ball game or maybe even an upset, Mike. Not saying that's going to happen, but, you know, LSU's been doing a lot of chirping, man. And Coach especially, you know. And it's sometimes when you play with emotions, you forget fundamentals. Not saying that LSU's going to do that, but, you know, something that Jimbo and Texas A&M has been doing of late is fundamental ball, man. They have been sticking and being disciplined, and you know, they came up short a few times there during Georgia, but you know, if they stick to that and LSU just goes out there just thinking they're going to steamroll the Aggies, man, they got another thing coming. This is a good ball club, man. This is a team that went toe-to-toe with Georgia. So I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this one, and I don't know. I don't have a feel on this game as much as I have on some of the games in the past, because I think there is going to be a lot of motion on this. I mean, last year, one of the most epic games played was these two teams right here, and obviously it's been keeping Coach O up at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick it over to Coach O, Shane, who discussed. He was very eager to discuss last year's game on Joe Burrow and the impact he's had on this LSU program, on the rivalry with Texas A&M. And then finally, you know, keep in mind, Shane, they stole away Texas A&M's AD, Scott Woodward. Coach Orgeron talks about Scott Woodward and his relationship with him, and sounds like a happy marriage down there in Baton Rouge, Shane.
Dating back to last year's game, I mean, that was the one where you got a Gatorade shower there before the end. I mean, what are your memories of that and, how that
– Well, the Gatorade shower was obviously a little premature. Our guys were fired up. We thought that we won the game 3 or 4 times. We didn't, obviously. But that's last year, so we got to let that thing go. We got to focus on this year. Last year don't matter. There's different players on this team. There's different players on their team. Just like when we played Alabama, those last 8 games didn't matter. This is about this year, about focusing in on this team.
Coach, I'm not sure if I ever heard you speak about what exactly happened on the field last year with Damian Craig and Steve Cragthorpe and all that stuff. I mean, what happened after the game?
Well, it was a mess. It was a mess, and that's all I want to say about it. Obviously, I wasn't part of it. I went to shake hands with Jimbo and left. I heard about all the stuff, but everybody knows what happened. It was a mess. It shouldn't have happened. And I'm sorry that it did happen.
Hey, Coach, no way to get Joe Burrow one more year here, right?
I can try, but I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen.
His last game, a guy that's only been here 2 years, probably no one's made a bigger impact in a shorter period of time. Just mm-hmm. You can speak to that.
Yeah. First of all, like I said, I don't know. You say these things and maybe they come out wrong. I think he's one of the most top important recruits that LSU's had in a long time. I'm not saying that he is the most, and I don't rank and all that stuff. But for what he's done for our program, I knew that I grew up watching Bert Jones. I saw Tommy Hodgson. I saw the great quarterback that LSU had, and we always wanted a great one, and we got one. So I'm happy for that. I'm happy that we could put in the offense that we finally wanted at LSU. We broke all kind of records, and it's our first year in it. So I feel like we're just getting started. I feel like we're going to get quarterbacks. I don't know if they're going to be as good as Joe, but that can operate within the system. We'll get receivers that can operate within the system, and we're going to continue on.
Coach, over here, a couple of things. How big a rivalry, in your opinion, is this, one? And two, are these kind of games important as far as keeping a fellow SEC West rival out of your backyard when it comes to recruiting?
Sure. I think it's a rival. I mean, I'm not an LSU expert to say what's the best rival, what it is, but our guys, and we beat them for a long time, but they beat us last year and it hurt. And so they have a good team. Coach Fisher's a good coach. I mean, he's been here. We all know about it. This is competitive, so they have great players. We have great players. They have great coaches. It's going to be a heck of a game, and it is. Yes, we need to beat the other schools and to help us in recruiting and also help us recruiting in Houston. Houston's one of our biggest areas in recruiting, so we beat Texas, and, beating Texas A&M helps us.
Coach Scott Woodward obviously came here from Texas A&M. Just curious, in the 6-7 months, would have been your guys' discussions of, making this the new normal and just your thoughts about the program heading into the future?
Yeah, he's been great. He comes every day. He knows more about recruiting than most people I've met. He talks to me every Sunday. We talk about the game. He's in the locker room. He's very supportive. He talks to the players, talks to the coaches. He's been phenomenal. Ever since the day he's coming here, he's been an asset, been phenomenal. Everything I've asked him for, which has been much, he's given it to us. In order to be successful, he wants to win just like we do.
All right, Shane, so there you have it from Coach O. And, one note I do want to make here about Joe Burrow. This is an incredible stat here. Of all the stats, I mean, there's countless records he's setting this year. But first SEC quarterback, Shane, with 4,000 or more passing yards and 40 touchdowns in a single SEC season. And hell, Shane, he's got this game, he's got the SEC championship, and a guaranteed at least one bowl, maybe two. He's going to reach 5,050 touchdowns, I think. I mean, I think that's almost like a foregone conclusion.
And what sucks, Mike, being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, sitting there watching the Cincinnati Bengals not win a game all year. And everybody thought they were going to tank for Tua, but I'm telling you, they may be tanking for old Joe Burrow right now, and I'm going to have to see him every Sunday.
Blow for Joe.
That's right. So, man, I don't know, man. I think the kid is lights out. He's a grown-ass man playing among boys, and, he's just in a league of his own right now.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this one, Shane. This just came to mind because, I'm not trying to take away anything from Coach O, I think he deserves all the accolades that are coming to him. But is Coach O the head coach at LSU in 2020, Shane, if they do not land Joe Burrow?
I don't know, man. I tell you, we've kind of joked about the backup. I think LSU's got the best backup in the SEC right now, and the fact that he hasn't left is impressive. So I don't know if they're undefeated, but I still think Coach O has a job because I don't think Miles is a that big of a drop. I mean, he is a drop off. Don't get me wrong. Joe's like I just told you, he's a league of his own. People are going to be. I mean, he's going to be a first round. Maybe in a first pick, you know, wouldn't surprise me. So there would be some drop off, but I don't know. This team is uber talented. There is a lot of freak athletes on this field, and it's not just at quarterback. So I think Coach O just he got lucky, man. Sometimes you get one of them classes that just, you know, they come together and they fit perfect. And with this new system, that's exactly what he's got.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, well, let's kick it down to College Station.
Giga Maggots.
Where Jimbo Fisher met with the media here on Monday, and he had a lot to say on this one, obviously. But, you know, this is going to be – how about this, looking at it this way, Shane? We obviously don't know which bowl game Texas A&M is going to make at this point. It's going to be a solid one, to be sure, but it's not going to be, I guess, a caliber of opponent like LSU. This is their chance. Keep hitting the same note, but we're still waiting for that first signature win. I guess you could say the closest thing they've really had was last year beating LSU, but Tigers weren't number one there. They nearly got it last weekend against Georgia. How much motivation for Jimbo Fisher and his crew? You know, there's almost all this talk out of Baton Rouge. These players, these coaches, they're all talking about how they want to whip on Texas A&M. What kind of statement is going to be made if the Aggies somehow go on the road and the first team to knock off LSU?
Yeah, dude. Let me ask you, is it possible if that does happen and then LSU beats Georgia? I thought I saw some sort of diagram where there's a chance three SEC teams could make the playoffs. So could that happen?
No, because if Georgia loses the SEC championship game,
they're out.
They're out.
Yeah.
But in your scenario you just laid out, if LSU loses this one and wins the SEC championship, I think they're fine. I think they're still in.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Alabama's in there too. So I could still see two potentially, but I don't think Georgia would make it in with the second loss.
Okay. All right. So they would have to lose to Georgia. So if Georgia beat LSU in the SEC championship and Ohio State – okay. Never mind. I was just thinking if there's a chance. But, dude, I mean, this is it. This is Texas A&M's chance to – this is their national championship, man. This is their spot in the playoffs. They have got – they want to say that they're in the upper echelon, man. They don't like being called the little brother in the West anymore, you know. This is their opportunity. They had it last week to beat Georgia. You know, they've played great teams this year. Think about it. They've played Clemson. They played Alabama. They've played Georgia. Now they're playing LSU. Those are your four, you know, championship teams right there, you know what I'm saying? They're the four that you're going to see played in the playoffs potentially, so short of Ohio State. And They got an opportunity to make a name for themselves, and I hope they bring it. I know they will be. This is a rivalry that's you know, a new one, but it's starting. I mean, it's a nasty one. I mean, when you have a five overtime game like you did last year, you know, that carries over. A lot of these kids were on that team last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick it over to Coach Fisher Shane, who complimented Joe Burrow as you'd expect on how he prepares his team for these rivalry games, on his defense gaining confidence each week, and the diversity of offenses you have to face in college football. And then this last one, I just thought this was a great note here. He was asked about recruiting against LSU in the state of Texas and how, you know, winning the game may actually hurt you a little bit in recruiting.
Jimbo, I wonder if you could speak to the year one to the next transformation of Burrow and what you're seeing on tape this year in this offense, and is there even How much time do you spend looking back on that game? You played against them last year. Consider how much different.
I mean, we review the game and so it, and you see tape of them periodically about people you play during the year. You know what I mean, by tape and what they've done or whatever. But I mean, last year I thought against us, he was a great player. I mean, he played great that night, running, throwing the football. I'm sure he's much more comfortable in what they do. I guess they've changed some of their scheme schematic. I don't know the inner workings or how they do it, or if they've just gotten better at it. I don't know, but I'm sure he's much more comfortable being in Baton Rouge. You can remember, he's a guy who moved all the way across the country from Ohio to Louisiana and had to make adjustments. You don't take into account how that affects guys, and I'm sure he's more comfortable there. He's better there. They say he's obviously the leader of that team, and you can see it. I mean, I think the guy's playing outstanding football. I think he's playing as good as any quarterback I've seen in a long, long time.
Jimbo, you were part of a couple of really big rivalries at Florida State. Mm-hmm. With this, I guess, being a rivalry game, one, what do those mean to the game of college football? And two, how do you go about preparing your guys for those kinds of games?
Well, I think, first of all, you, when you go preparing for them, you prepare for them like they're any other game. And what I mean is you can't do anything more special. They say, well, I'm going to do more. What can you, if you're putting your heart and soul in it every week, it's about execution, and I think keeping your emotions in check. I think you have to be able to emotionally – you have to be high when you play, and you have to have energy, and you have to do that. But sometimes your emotions – you can't let them get out of whack. You got to keep your emotions intact where you can play and wherever that threshold is for each individual and for us as an organization. You know, and I think they're great. I mean, you know, didn't have rivalries. Both teams got to win games. You know what I mean? And we won one last year, and hopefully get those things going. And I like the direction our program's going and where we're going in the future. So I'm sure we're going to play consistently, and we have such close proximity. I mean, it's going to be eventually have a lot of bearing on what's going on in the West. And that's exciting because I think that's great for college football. I think when you have rivalries, the emotions, the people, the fans, the excitement, the joy, I mean, it's things you look forward to, and people mark on their calendars as you go on. So I think they're great for college football. I've been fortunate to be part of some tremendous, tremendous rivalries when I was at Auburn, when I was at Florida State, when I was at LSU. I mean, it's a blessing, and it's one of the great joys and things that go with being in this profession.
Coach, with what you saw from the defense against Georgia, does that give you confidence going into playing such a dynamic offense?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, we play great there, but you got to also say, as you know, two different teams and how you match up and what their strengths are to what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are to their weaknesses. And I think that's where you got to be. That's the one thing about college football that's so different than pro football, in my opinion, is that the diversity of what you see week to week is unbelievable. I mean, it's just why I think it's really why you're saying Lamar is having so much success in pro football. You don't see that because everybody else is drop back pass, run on first down, play on. I mean, so that creates diversity. Mahomes was creating different diverse. You know, in college football, you see that every week. You go from a running team to a spread team to an option team to you can go to a bone. I mean, the option. I mean, the die. I mean, different stuff. I mean, and I think that's where, you know, defensively, we play good against a very good team. This will be a different dynamic because the styles are totally different. But at the same time, that means hopefully the diversity in which you recruit to and have. And Coach Elko does a great job in adjusting those things. And hope we can. And our offensive approach will all be part of how we handle all those things.
Coach Ogeron talked today about the importance of recruiting Houston. How often do you cross paths with LSU and Houston, East Texas, and does that raise the stakes of this game?
Yeah, well? I mean, I think it always is. People who are on your borders and who always – you know, when we were at LSU, we always tried to get into Houston. We always tried to get into Texas. I mean, that was a – you know, you had Louisiana. That's the closest place that had great players. You know what I'm saying? So that's always an area. And Houston's – you got 3 million people. I mean, so unfortunately, everybody in America is in Houston. Dallas and everywhere else. I mean, and we need to set a rule. We got to stay and just keep them out. But no, that is a big part, and it does affect the game. I think it's very important. I think, you know, it's funny, the kids today in recruiting, I'm going to say that. I don't mean, I think it's extremely important, and we cross paths with them quite a bit in Houston and different areas, Texas, Dallas, all over different areas, even nationally. I mean, as we're branding out more national to get kids, we bump into each other a lot. I mean, a whole lot. But it's funny how I've seen in the last, I'm going to say 30 years I've been in Division I football, 26, 28 year, whatever I'm saying, when I was at Auburn, man, whoever won that Alabama-Auburn game, it was unbelievably significant how recruiting would come into that. But in the last 10 to 12 years, they love it. They want to be a part of it. But a lot of them say, okay, they got problems. I can play there earlier. I mean, I know that sounds – I mean, it does. I mean, well, I can do, it's – or that team – it's funny how the dynamic has changed because it used to be –
hey, I'm going there and we'll win. I don't care if I redshirt a year. We're going to play and I'm going to be good, blah, blah. Now it's, can I get on the field and how quick can I get out? But in that, I mean, it's very important when you, and I think in these games, it's just, you got to win your games. But at the same time, it's funny how recruiting, I think our society's changed a little bit in that regard. I used to see it affect recruiting, I'm talking in the 90s, early 2000s, who won games. A lot of times affected a lot of that. I think it still does because, listen, the good teams still get good players and they're still recruiting well and it's still about the product. But and I think it's a little less now as much as it used to be years ago, if that makes any sense. Does that make any sense what I'm trying to say? Because everybody now was, what can I make? What can I do real quick? You know what I'm saying? But it's still very important. There's no doubt.
All right, Shane. So it kind of sounds like Jimbo, if he loses his game, he's going to turn around and say, well, it's going to help us in recruiting. You know?
It felt like he was setting that up, didn't it?
Yeah. I think he was just honestly just giving us a real insight into the recruiting landscape in 2020, but that was a funny comment. I just thought I had to include that one. But
you know, one thing about that, though, Mike, who's the top five teams in the nation right now?
Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia.
Yep. And guess who the top five recruiting classes are? You just named them, Mike, you know. So winning does matter. Now, Texas A&M sitting there right outside at six spot. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think it has changed. I think these players still want to go to these schools that are winning and putting players in the NFL, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I just thought that was a funny little comment there, but – All right, Shane, well, let's kick it down to Athens.
Oh, dog, sick him!
Where old Kirby Smart met with the media here on Monday, and obviously previewing the big matchup there with Georgia Tech. Now, this is kind of similar a little bit to that LSU matchup against Texas A&M, where, you know, coming off some physical games here against Auburn and Texas A&M. Both gave them a late run there. Georgia really had to hold on for a win. Now, everyone is obviously expecting Georgia Tech to get blown out in this game, but you know, how do they keep the players from eyeing 2 weeks ahead to this LSU game? And this is college football, after all. I mean, who in the hell saw South Carolina beating Georgia? You know what I mean? So I'm not saying Georgia Tech's going to do the same and pull a stunner here, but you got to keep in mind these college kids, sometimes it's really hard to keep them focused on the game ahead. How dangerous is this game for Georgia, and how concerned is Kirby Smart and his coaching staff got to be all week on getting these kids focused on a team that if you look on paper, and I'm sure they're, you know, scouting the film and what have you, they know they should dominate this team. How serious are they going to take this one?
Dude, don't you dare read into Kirby Smart kissing these guys' ass, because Georgia Tech is not good. They don't run the option anymore. Who cares? They're still not a good ball club. And yeah, they won last week against North Carolina State, but the week before they lost 45-0 to Virginia Tech. You know, this is, you know, let's just pump the brakes here. Georgia's going to go down here, do Georgia things, and this won't even be a ball game. I hope that nobody gets hurt. Everybody's healthy, because what we want is a great SEC championship game, Mark.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, well, let's kick it over to Kirby, because I thought he had some really interesting comments. Obviously, he's played in this rivalry, and it was much more of a rivalry during his days. But, you know, I really thought these comments he had on how he kind of sell to his players that you may not think this is a big game, but how about you lose it? Because then you'll find out real hard, you know, how big of a game this is for these people in this state. He also talked about Jake Fromm and his kind of his struggles in the passing game there recently. And then kind of like what I hinted at there on getting his team up for this game with a big SEC title game looming, how the challenges that come with that.
You know, it's hard to put a finger on it. Auburn, they played really tight covers. There's no real easy throws. I thought these guys, the guys who just played Texas A&M, their pass efficiency defense is really stellar. They do some good things defensively. Their coordinator was at Notre Dame. He's done some really good things. So makes it tough at times. But at times, you got to hit the open guy. I think Jake would be the first to tell you that. We missed a couple and made a couple. So there's no easy throws when you start looking at it out there. It's not like there's a gimme here or there. You try to get high percentage throws, and we had a couple of those to the back in the flat and to Charlie and to the swing passes. But we got to do a better job helping him out, and he's got to do a better job hitting the ones when they're open.
What's different preparing for Georgia Tech without the triple option? I mean, I know it was kind of a all-consuming thing for this week usually.
Yeah, they still have a lot of elements of the option. So, obviously, when I say a lot, I don't mean as much as what they had previously, because they were all in when they were triple option. They have elements of the triple. They still, I mean, you can't just flip it over and just go completely to a nine when that's what your roster's made of. So they have dive, pitch keys, they have reads, they have perimeter runs, inside runs. They've got elements of the option. So it is different from a perspective of not having to do everything we used to do, which was completely different. So where it was 100% different defense, it might be 50% difference now with some of the things they're doing.
Here's Georgia Tech's defensive line. They're a little thin and dinged up. I'm curious how you see that matchup with your offensive line against their defensive front.
Yeah, I mean, when you look across the board, they've got guys that played quite a bit of snaps. They rotate a lot of guys in there. They play a ton of players. Jeff's always done that. He had that philosophy when he was at Mississippi State, when he was at Florida. I think that helps build morale and self-worth within your team. You have more kids bought into the organization when they know they're going to get an opportunity to contribute. So they play a lot of guys, and they move, and they got athletic guys up there. So, I mean, we got to worry about ourselves more than we got to worry about Tech, and that's the case every week. You have to get better at you, and it's not really about the other team, and that's what we focus on regardless of who we're playing. As far as the rivalry, I mean, it's always – I mean, when I came to school here as a player, it was – one of the biggest rivalries there was. It was what you talked about as a freshman. It's what was ingrained in you to, you know, have the hate and build that up. I think because of the conferences and because of the importance of winning your conference, that may have diminished some in regards to over the time. But the game, the rivalry, is usually based on wins and losses and who's winning those games. Georgia has so many rivalries that you can't say one's more important than the other. You don't think it's important, then lose it, and then it'll be really important. And I know the importance of this game, and I know the significance it has to so many of our fans, especially the crowd that may be older, that traditionally Georgia Tech was a national powerhouse year in and year out. It means so much to them.
Kirby, since we last saw you on Saturday, LSU clinched the West, so if you want to comment on that future matchup, you're more than welcome to. Also, what's the challenge of focusing this week, knowing you have a big game the week after?
Well, the challenge is about the rivalry. So when you think about this game, records are thrown out. None of that matters. You know, they finished Thursday. This is a huge opportunity and stage for them. We acknowledge that. A lot of our kids will be playing in front of their home crowd, where they're from, their community, because of so many kids being from the Atlanta area. So that's the focus and that's the concentration. And our guys understand that. We've got a mature team. And we said the other day that the most important step is the next step. Georgia Tech is the next step. And they've got a football team that's peaking at the right time, played a really good game Thursday night. So we got to go out and play a good football game.
All right, Shane. So Kirby, you know, he's going his coach speak route this week, but
yeah.
I don't know, Shane. I'm telling you, I'm not saying an upset's going to happen here, but this might be one where I'm eyeing that spread. I think it's a 30 point spread. I think there's a real chance Georgia Tech covers that this week.
You know, at Georgia Tech, man, it's just, it used to be something, dude. I'm telling you, man, it used to be a daggone powerhouse down there. It's just, it's got away from that. Now, there have been, you know, some games of late. I mean, if you think about it, and I know it's a small sample size, but in the last five games that they've had, Georgia Tech has won two of them. So, mm-hmm. You know, you can't close that door. You can't overlook Georgia Tech. I know I came out and gave them a hard time there, but I think you've got way more talent than Georgia Tech. And if you stick to fundamental ball, which Kirby – has not ventured away from. I mean, in fact, we give them a hard time over it. I think they're going to be fine. This is going to be a boring game. This is going to be one that you're going to want to watch after you, you know, eat that turkey sandwich and you're looking for a good nap, because that's what this game, I think, is going to end up being.
All right, Shay, final team we got to hit on this episode. Let's jump on down to Lexington. Mark Stoops met with the media here all Monday. And, you know, surprisingly, he didn't talk a ton about Louisville here. Most of these clips are about his team, but obviously understands the importance of this rivalry. He was on the wrong side of it for a few years there, and, you know, he really needed to win this one to kind of gain some support there in Lexington. And, I mean, last year they damn dominated this thing, so they'd like to extend that streak this season. But I really think this is going to be a close ball game. I know you're not so much thinking that, but the point spread is kind of indicating that a lot of people, at least to the betting lines, think it's going to be a close game here. But Kentucky's got a lot on the line here, Shane. I mean, this could be the difference between spending your damn bowl season in damn Birmingham or what have you, some terrible location, and possibly going to somewhere like the Music City Bowl where, you know, Nashville's so close to the state of Kentucky. It seems like you know, these Kentucky fans love to come on down to Nashville. I know they've played the Music City Bowl a few times here recently, but it's a short trip. It's a fun trip, and I think that's going to be a likely destination if they win this game against Louisville.
Oh, and they will. Are we talking about that still? You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and it reminded me of Stoops. You ever watched the Patriot?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Mel Gibson, you know, they got that old British war going on, and they line up against each other, and they shoot, and then they, you know, but Stoops don't fight that way. You know, he takes with what he has, and he knows he's just got militia. You know, and he's out there in the bush just, you know, coming up with these new little schemes to get the victories, you know, and it's one little battle at a time. That's what he reminds me of, man. He's sly, and he takes what he has, the cards that he's dealt, and he makes the best out of it. This same thing's going to be this week, man. You know, he knows Louisville knows that they're wanting to run the ball. You know what I'm saying? But don't be surprised if Stoops mix it up a little bit. You know, it's just who he is. He's always got to ace up the sleeve. So I think he's one of the most underrated coaches in the nation. And I think Louisville's not prepared for that, or the team we don't like to talk about.
Well, let me ask you, Shane, in your scenario here, because you got me thinking now. Is Mark Stoops, is he Mel Gibson in this scenario?
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely Mel Gibson.
And who would Heath Ledger be? Would that be Terry Wilson?
Terry Wilson, you know, Terry went down earlier, so this would be the younger brother.
Okay.
I think, you know, the latest one, Heath would probably be, No, you're right. I think it's Terry, now that I think about it. Because Terry would have been a good fix here. You're right. Definitely. Maybe some of the secondary could have been the younger brother. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Shane. So before we get too off topic here, let's kick it over to Stoops, who talks a little bit about the rivalry games here. And then this has been an interesting little, you know, subplot here going on. Cash Daniels' status, Shane. He missed a lot of the previous game there against UT Martin. And it sounds like, you know, I don't want to go on wild speculation here, but it sounds like his career may be done. I've heard, you know, there's concerns of multiple concussions. So that's kind of what Stoops is talking about here. And then I don't think we've really talked about this yet, but, you know, apparently he's out of the running for the Florida State job and all that goes with that. He's kind of hit on that over the weekend. And once again, he was asked about it. And so that's what he's addressing here at the end of this clip.
I think it's always important. I mean, I don't think there's any denying when you're playing a rivalry game that it's important. I've said that since day one. I understand the importance to our fan base and our community, our state, and, you know, our team. So it's always important. hard. You know, Cash is one of those guys that just, he leaves everything out there. He practices so hard. He plays so hard. And he has some frustrations at times because, you know, some, you know, things he's getting beat up at times. And, you know, he's one of those guys. There's no question. Each year, you know, last year he had surgeries and had to take care of his body in the off season. It took him a long time to get healthy. This year, as the year goes on, same thing. He has some ups and some downs and gives it everything he's got. And I'm really proud of Cash and what he's done and you know, overcoming some adversity and things that maybe not everybody knows about. And, you know, each individual is different and goes through some ups and downs and has a lot of, you know, trials and tribulations and things going on in their personal life, in their own life, and in their families that are just very hard. But the young man gives us everything he's got all the time. We love him. He's a great teammate, and he's ready to go. He'll be back out there ready to go this week. So proud of him and the things he's had to overcome.
I know he will want to go through the pro days and do, you know, all the stuff to try to get, you know, have a chance in the NFL.
That's up to Cash and what he wants to do. I know it's hard to make those decisions right now as you go through a long and stressful season and as you're beat up mentally and physically, as I mentioned, how difficult it is. I don't want him to make any of those decisions right now until he has the time, you know, after this week to heal up a little bit, rest up. But I know it's hard for him because he plays so hard that his body just feels like it may be time to just move on to something different. But that's his decision. And when and where and why, how he wants to make it, it'll be up to him. But if, as far as working here or doing something with me, you never know. You know, certainly you love a guy like that and everything he's done for our program. So I would welcome that as well. No, I don't want to get into any specifics about anything like that, and I don't want to open up, you know, speculation and things for the future. I mean, I just don't think it's appropriate. I was pretty clear on, you know, I'm really intent on being here and building this program, and we have unfinished business, and I'm excited about the future. So that was pretty clear.
Yeah, I know you don't pay attention to social media, but at least this week the fan base does want you to stay here.
That's it. I appreciate that. Thank you. Keep me updated. Yeah.
All right, Shane. So Mark Stoops, some interesting comments there about Cash Daniel and on sticking it out at Kentucky. And we've said it here many times. He's got probably the best contract in college football, Kentucky. And I also love the fact that, you know, there's speculation he may leave. Oh, my God, Kentucky fans love him.
Yeah.
But thoughts on, I mean, this seems at this point just be like a perfect union here between Mark Stoops and this Kentucky program that I think as long as he's there is going to remain a contender in the East.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're right. About Cash, I think something's not right, you know. And he didn't want to speculate what was going on, but it could be mental, it could be physical, it could be, you know, dealing with family. I mean, there's something going on behind the scenes, and you know, I don't know, but I do know that Kentucky loves Stoops, man, and he loves Kentucky, and it is a perfect relationship. He does got a fantastic contract. And he could literally stay there forever if he keeps producing, which I think he will, man. And I think there's going to be years that come up when the stars line and they're going to make a good run in Kentucky. It's just, is it next year? I don't know. It could be. They got plenty of talent, but it's just, that's just this. You just be ready when it does happen, man. I mean, hell, they won 10 games last year.
Yeah, I mean, who would have seen that coming, you know what?
But no, I didn't.
I mean, that just speaks to how great of a coach Mark Stoops really is. All right, Shane, so that's all we got on this one, going a little bit long here. I know there's a lot of teams we didn't hit on. We promised to hit on those on the next episode. You know, we're still waiting for some pressers to go down, and we just had so many teams to hit on here. Didn't want a damn two-hour pod here, but
yeah,
we're going to be hitting on all the rest of the teams on the next show. You got anything else before we hop off here?
No, this one's a long one, and yeah, we've got you know, it's a holiday week, so we're going to try to get some good stuff out to you, even on Thanksgiving. I think we're going to have a little something coming out. So, yeah, no rest for the wicked, Mike.
Well, Shane, it's a holiday, but people still, they want their pod. We're going to give it to them. There's still, this is the best weekend, like I said, of college football action, SEC action. Everybody's playing. A lot on the line. Jobs on the line. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, not us, but...
yeah. It's hate week, but we're cool, Mike.
All right, Shane, I think that's going to do it. Thanks for joining me as always. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols. Second, I got the Lane train coming through, buddy.
He's driving down to Mississippi State. He wants back in the SEC, baby.
He's going to hit them all, buddy. He's heading to Arkansas first, I think. If you were to guess, do you think Lane makes it to Arkansas? Do you think that's a possibility?
I mean, I think it's a possibility, but I don't think it'll happen.
Okay. I heard I don't know, man. They're just – maybe it's like the us and what's his face? Chucky.
Gruden?
Yeah, Groomers, you know. Now, didn't his brother coach over in Arkansas?
No, he coached at Ole Miss. But his father apparently coached there years and years ago.
Oh, man.
Old Monty.
Like when they first became a school? Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. Where are we? We're talking. What are we talking?